And may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. After Jesus had been scourged, it says in Matthew 27, verse 27, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. They put a scarlet robe on him. And after weaving a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spat on him. They took the reed and began to beat him on the head. One of the Gospels, it says, they also gave him blows to his face. There's a term, an ancient term called Arma Christi. It's a Latin phrase, and Arma Christi means weapons of Christ. And part of the great tradition of the church and their worshiping and understanding of what Christ accomplished at the cross and his way to the cross through the whole Passion Week is that those things that the enemy used to try to destroy Christ, to humiliate him, really became weapons in the hand of God to conquer Satan. Example would be that throughout church history that they've honored part of the Arma Christi, part of the weapons of Christ, were things like the whip that scourged him yesterday, we talked about. The crown of thorns, which we're going to talk about today. The nails, the sword that pierced his side, the cross. And all those became very strong, powerful, holy relics to the church. Because again, the enemy saw those as means of humiliation, of cruelty and suffering and destruction. But of course, the Lord redeems the works of the enemy, doesn't he? And they all became instruments of the enemy's very defeat. Jesus conquered the enemy by love. His whole redemptive purpose was love. Jesus didn't conquer the enemy with a sword. He conquered him with the love of God. That's why, again, in John 19, when Jesus cries out, it's finished, that's not just a legal transactional term about man's sin being paid for. It also carries the idea that what he came to do, he did. He's proven to the whole world, shown the whole world, the nature of God's love, because that was the weapon that he carried. And all those things that the enemy used became the weapons of Christ. Particularly, the crown of thorns is one of my favorite because of what it declares and decrees. There's a couple of places, well, a number of places in Scripture it talks about the crown and a crown that Jesus wears, a crown that we wear. The word in Greek, the word crown that's used most of the times in the New Testament, particularly when referring to the crown of thorns, it's the word Stephanos, the word we get Stephen from or Stephanie from or Stephan from. And Stephanos just means the victory wreath or victory crown. And so when the enemy thought that he was destroying Christ and humiliating him as he was mocked, it was a mocking crown. He said he was the King of the Jews. They were mocking him, spitting on him. And as they were beating him in the head and giving him blows to the face and mocking him, those crowns digging deep into his brow, his head, he was already quivering in pain physically from the scourging that he had just experienced. He was probably half in shock in his humanity just as a result of the loss of blood and the kind of pain he experienced when he was striped. And yet as Jesus stood there, I'm convinced that Jesus believed he was being victorious. He was winning. He wasn't losing. And the mocking, it says that he despised the shame. It meant nothing to him because he knew that what was happening to him was Arma Christi. They were weapons in his hands to defeat the enemy. In Isaiah 62, it says this, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth like brightness and her salvation like a torch that is burning. And the nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. And you will be called by a new name, which is the mouth of the Lord, which the mouth of the Lord will designate. And you will also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. And you will no longer be said about you forsaken, nor will your land will it be any longer be called desolate. But you will be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and to him your land will be married. And as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. It says, for Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep silent. Interesting thing, the church is referred to as the New Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was always more than just a city. It always represented the people of God in the Old Testament. The New Jerusalem, his church, his bride, you can look it up in the New Testament, talks about that, that the New Jerusalem came down from heaven as the bride of Christ prepared for marriage. Now, what this scripture says to us, it's an amazing thing. It says that Jesus carries around this crown as a sign of two things. It says again, you will be a crown of beauty in his hand and a royal diadem. That's again about victory in the hand of the Lord. I believe that Jesus, as a slain lamb, if you've seen images of that, I think he wears the crown of thorns forever. Because those crown of thorns represent not defeat at the hands of the enemy. They represent your beauty and my beauty in his eyes and the sacrificial price he was willing to pay to conquer our hearts for him. The crown of thorns represent how he sees you and me and his sacrificial love and how far it was willing to go to have victory because of the beauty, how much he sees, how much he loves us. Isn't it interesting how many Christians feel like they're ugly in the sight of the Lord because they're imperfect, don't always get it right? But you're his beauty. I love again Psalm 27 when David says, this one thing I've asked that I shall seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold his beauty and inquire of him. But the scripture says, as he beheld our beauty to him, you are altogether beautiful, it says in Song of Solomon 4:7, and there's no spot or blemish in you. What a crazy thing to say. But true love is blind. Now here's the thing that makes his love so extraordinary. It's not blind at all. His eyes are wide open. He knows the very thoughts and intentions of our heart. But to us, we're altogether, to him, we're altogether beautiful. And that crown of thorns for all of eternity speaks to us. As he's wearing it, he's sinking. He's saying to himself, as the enemy thinks he's winning, as the cruel Romans are spitting on him and mocking him and beating him, who's already half dead, Jesus is standing in victory, decreeing with the crown how beautiful we are to him and his victory in conquering our hearts. You see, it's his love that conquers our heart, right? God so loved the world that he gave. Our faith is based on how much he loves us and the price he was willing to pay for us. Again, it's finished. Lord, Father, we have revealed to the whole world the nature of our love for mankind, broken and fallen. And so the crown of thorns represented our beauty. It represents his great sacrificial love for us because of our beauty to him and a constant reminder of the enemy's defeat. Because the thing Jesus came to conquer was our hearts. It says again in Romans 6 that Jesus came riding on a white horse, conquering and to conquer, with a bow in his hand and a crown on his head. His great love for you and me. That's his beautiful crown in heaven. Not just some golden, spectacular thing. The most beautiful crown in the world to Jesus is a crown of thorns. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.